Competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 877-740-7797, 877-740-7797.
Do you have a personal injury case and need money now? Have you been turned down by family, friends, and banks? Are you out of options for the money you need? If so, Whitehaven Funding can help. If you need money now and can't wait for your case to settle, call Whitehaven Funding at 1-800-559-8081. In exchange for an interest in your pending case, Whitehaven Funding advances money to injured victims who need money now. The money provided can help with foreclosure, bankruptcy, and eviction, or you can use the money any way you need. Call 1-800-559-8081 for details. If your case is not successful, you keep the money and don't have to pay them back. That's right, if you lose your case, you keep the money and don't have to pay them back. Just call 1-800-559-8081. Again, if you have a pending personal injury claim and have no place else to turn for the money, call Whitehaven Funding at 1-800-559-8081. Call today.
Air America Radio News. Good afternoon. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson. Chinese health officials have confirmed the country's first three human cases of bird flu. The announcement comes just one day after China said it would vaccinate all its 5.2 billion poultry against the disease. An Iraqi human rights team has gone to the city of Fallujah to investigate the use of white phosphorus as a weapon by U.S. forces and its possible effects on civilians, a minister has told the BBC. The U.S. has now admitted using white phosphorus, which can burn flesh, as a weapon in Fallujah last year after earlier denying it. A documentary aired on Italian television last week alleged that the U.S. had used phosphorus against built-up areas and that civilians were killed. Former President Clinton told Arab students today the United States made a big mistake when it invaded Iraq. Answering questions at a forum at the American University of Dubai, Clinton cited the lack of planning for what would happen after Saddam Hussein was overthrown. Quote, "Saddam is gone. It's a good thing, but I don't agree with what was done," said Clinton. A federal judge has halted for at least several months the military's plan to resume the war crimes trial in Guantanamo Bay of David Hicks, an Australian charged with fighting for the Taliban in Afghanistan. Hicks's lawyers asked for the stay in light of the Supreme Court's decision last week to review the legality of the military commissions being used to try Guantanamo detainees. The Pentagon had decided to go ahead with the procedure despite the pending Supreme Court case. Meanwhile, the Senate voted yesterday to amend its earlier revocation of habeas corpus rights from Guantanamo detainees. The amendment still restricts detainees' right to challenge their imprisonment, but does give them some access to one federal court in Washington, as well as the ability to appeal some sentences handed down by military tribunals. A rapidly moving cold front is creating problems across the U.S. Two people were killed after nearly three dozen tornadoes ripped through the Midwest and Southeast. To the north, at least four people were killed in crashes on slippery, snow-covered Minnesota roads. A White House document shows that executives from big oil companies met with Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force in 2001, something long suspected by environmentalists but kept classified by Cheney. The Washington Post reports that the document shows officials from ExxonMobil Corp, Conoco, Shell Oil Company, and BP America Incorporated met in the White House complex with the Cheney aides who were developing a national energy policy, parts of which became law. But in a joint hearing last week of the Senate Energy and Commerce Committees, the chief executives of the companies said either that they had not participated in such meetings or that they did not know if they had. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson.
When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar by GM. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74, and this is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residence. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and we'll also send you a free 911 cell phone when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
Tired of having people repeat and repeat what they are saying? Louder and louder so you can hear? In those embarrassing moments with the new Amplier 2005, so small and powerful you won't believe the difference. Amplier 2005 is so reliable, over 100,000 are in use nationwide. Hear even faint phone conversations with ease. Enjoy your favorite TV show, the theater, sporting events, and family functions without straining to hear. Amplier is fully adjustable, fits both men and women, and is nearly invisible. Results are so effective, they're 100% guaranteed or your money back. Not $79 or $39. Order your Amplier 2005 today for only $19.95. You'll also receive 5 extra batteries, a cleaning brush, and 3 custom fit earpieces absolutely free with your order. Call 1-800-841-7878. Never apologize again for not being able to hear. Order now and get a second Amplier 2005 for only $14.95. Our operators are standing by. Call 1-800-841-7878 today. That's 1-800-841-7878. Order your Amplier and hear even a whisper.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Welcome back to our program. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Sam Kasman is with us with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Hey, Sam, welcome to the program. Sam?
Oh, hi. Oh. Hello?
Hey, Sam. You're live and on the air.
Okay.
And, Sam, you wanted to talk, we were going to talk today about CAFE standards. CEI.org is the Competitive Enterprise Institute, website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And you are a general counsel to CEI and head of their Death by Regulation project. And CAFE stands for Corporate Average Fuel Efficiency, if I'm correct. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, you wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal in which you suggest essentially that, if I'm reading this right, and I've read the whole thing, that the kind of the bottom line here is get the government out of the business of regulating the fuel efficiency standard of our vehicles.
Absolutely.
Don't you think that there is a public good that is served by our being less dependent upon Saudi oil?
Well, I'm not sure that the stringent fuel economy standards do anything good for our oil dependency. I mean, if these standards actually reduce demand for oil enough to affect prices, they're going to lower prices slightly. And the curious fact is that once you do that, the U.S. actually becomes more dependent on foreign oil, not less, because American-produced oil is among the highest cost petroleum in the world. And so it American-produced oil only becomes competitive when world prices are high. And if you look at the trend lines over the last few decades, our use of American oil, in a sense, really tracks world prices. As those prices go up, we use more American oil proportionately. So,
yeah, but it's a bit of a disingenuous argument. I mean, you realize, Sam, that the reason why American oil is expensive is because most of our wells have been pumped dry or are you know, well past the Hubbard peak. We hit that in 74 here in the United States. And so our oil, you know, we've got to suck a lot harder on the straw. There's a lot more energy involved in that, and so it's more expensive to draw it out of the ground. You've got oil, you know, production costs in Saudi Arabia around $7, $8 a barrel, production costs in Iraq of $1.50 a barrel, production costs here in the United States $12, $13, $14 a barrel. Sure, it's more expensive here, but still, that does, you know, wouldn't we still want to say if half of our oil that we use in the United States is being used by vehicles, and roughly half of the oil that we use in the United States is imported, in fact, a little more than half, 50, I think it's 56%, is it not now? Shouldn't we reduce the amount of oil that we're using in our vehicles? And if we can't do it with the free market, and if we can't do it by, you know, asking people to slow down, then we should do it by government fiat.
Well, look, if you want to do that, and I think that's a big if, I'd say do the most politically honest thing, which is, namely, slap a tax on oil or slap a tax on foreign oil. Now, I don't favor that, but I think it's honest because at least it's very clear to people just what is happening, whereas CAFE is this regulation that very few people know about that does not really take effect until years after it's been established or made more stringent because you have all these lead times to produce new cars. And so politically, it's a smoke and mirrors thing. You know, politicians see it as a feel-good vote. The administration likes to talk that it's boosting it. No one really knows its real effects unless they go through a lot of digging. Now, one of those real effects is the fact that it kills people, and that's a point that I hope we get to. But simply in terms of reducing consumption artificially, that is, through government action, the most honest way and the most politically candid and transparent way is to raise the gas tax.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's what European countries have been doing for decades, and that's why the average European consumes anywhere from a seventh to a quarter of the gasoline every year that the average American does.
Sure, but you know, when it comes to political turmoil over increasing oil prices, Europe is just as subject to them as we are. For those people who think that we got involved in the first Gulf War in 1990 because of foreign oil, remember that Great Britain, which is actually a net oil exporter because of its North Sea wells, Great Britain had the second highest number of troops in that battle after the U.S. So if you're looking at energy independence or oil independence as a protective barrier against either spikes in prices and political turmoil or even military ventures, I don't think you're going to find it.
No, but the fact of the matter is that the British were doing the same thing and are doing. I mean, British Petroleum and other British oil companies are doing the same thing, and they're pretty candid about it with their oil supplies that Great Britain has done historically with natural resources that they have and that other countries have that they may want, and that is they're not using up everything they have. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Well, they're using what's economical to get now. And, you know, I think really, in terms of the long-term future, if oil stays expensive, you're going to see huge amounts coming in from Alberta and from South America, amounts that in the past it has been uneconomic to draw out, because there you're dealing with oil sands where you've actually almost got to distill the stuff out of the ground. And I think that's going to be our main source of foreign oil. But I think you would agree that Canadian oil is foreign technically, but it's really from a friendly country. We don't have to be too concerned about using it.
Yeah, but the larger point here is that, you know, we have this entanglement in the Middle East that goes back 40, 50 years, that in large part, and the reason why our entanglement has gotten so much more intense over the last decade or so, in large part, undeniably, has to have to do with the fact that there's all that oil there. I mean, you've got millions of people, you say, well, you got horrible dictators. I mean, you know, look at Zimbabwe. There's a horrible dictator there, too, Robert Mugabe, but there's no oil. So, you know, we're just saying, well, he's killing 2 million of his people this year.
No matter how high our CAFE standards might be and how little we might use of oil, the fact remained if Hussein back in 1990 had been able to keep control of the Kuwaiti oil fields, he would have had a very, very valuable asset just because of what other countries do. And the notion of allowing him to, through military force, grab hold of so much power, and it would be, you know, powerful even if we were relying purely on solar cells in this country, is something that no one was willing to stand for. And so, you know, if a country like England, which technically does not need Middle East oil at all because it's an actual exporter, if they were involved in that war, I do not see oil independence as something that's going to keep us out of foreign oil.
Well, Sam, I don't think that our, you know, re-arguing the 1991 Gulf War is going to be particularly productive here.
But I'm looking at what the history of energy independence have meant for those countries that in some sense have achieved it. But
the fact of the matter is that the United States was relatively energy independent up until the 1940s, 1950s. I mean, we were by and large not importing oil. We were exporting oil. We used to have an enormous amount, you know, Standard Oil, Pennzoil, used to be Pennsylvania Oil Company. We were pumping oil in Pennsylvania. We were pumping Standard Oil of Ohio, Standard Oil of New Jersey.
We're not going to go back to those days. And if you're
that's because we've dried those wells out, yeah. But my point is that, okay, you say that, and we only have a couple minutes left here, so let's get right to the meat of this. You say that CAFE standards, increasing fuel efficiency, means not just technological improvements like we've seen with catalytic converters, or actually I suppose they have very little to do with efficiency, but things like, you know, hybrid cars and things like that, not just increasing fuel efficiency but also making cars lighter in weight. And you say lighter weight cars mean people are more likely to die. The fact of the matter is, though, a lot more people die as a result of drunk drivers than because of lightweight cars, A. And B, if we extend your logic, why don't we all just drive tanks? Or, alternatively, why don't we all start using trains?
I'm saying CAFE kills. That's the finding of the National Academy of Sciences, and yet I've never heard any defender of CAFE admit that. Now, look, if you want to tell me CAFE will kill, but it's worth it for these other reasons, I'd respect that. That's an honest position with which I disagree. But the point is that CAFE has been made out to be a win-win proposition, and in fact it isn't. It's a deadly one, and until we come to grips with that, you know, in a sense, CAFE is the real blood for oil war, and it's being waged by American governments on Americans themselves, so let's at least admit it.
Yeah, you're saying CAFE kills because it means smaller cars.
Smaller and lighter. It's a restriction on the ability to upsize your vehicles. And it's one reason, for example, that the large station wagon has practically disappeared, because it counts as a passenger car, meaning if you produce it, you've got a tougher time complying with
No, that really has to do with tax policies, because an SUV, if it weighs over 6,000 pounds, it's not considered a vehicle for depreciation, and you can write it off your taxes up to $100,000.
Yeah, whereas a station wagon,
you can't.
In terms of the way CAFE is structured, it restricts the ability of car makers to sell larger passenger cars.
So you're saying, therefore, we the people should just throw our hands up and say, well, we're not going to do anything about the use of fuel in the United States.
No, I think people do
saying,
a much better job. People do a much better job on their own, because when gas prices spiked after Katrina, what did people do? Without any government pushing, they stopped buying those large SUVs, they started buying more hybrids, and they switched to more efficient crossovers. And that
so now
is
you've
the
got the market producing CAFE standards.
Oh, yeah.
So the market kills.
So drive less.
People are buying lighter cars, Sam. They're going to die.
They
the market's
buy lighter
killing
cars,
them.
And if gas is more expensive, they drive less. And so the net safety effects of a gas price increase pretty much wash themselves out.
Well, that's okay. That's pretty good logic. Sam Kasman, CEI.org. Thanks a lot, Sam. Good talking to you. It's 16 minutes past.
Get in on the iPod revolution with Small Dog Electronics. Whether you hip-hop, rock, shuffle, work out, or get down, there's an iPod for you, starting at just $99. iPod shuffles, minis, the original iPod, and iPod Photo let you store your favorite music and shuffle to your ear's content from 120 to 15,000 songs. Check out your iPod choices today at smalldog.com.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, John Madden here for Ace Hardware. With energy prices expected to be sky high this winter, it's a great time to stop by your neighborhood Ace store and find out how to prepare your home. The helpful folks at Ace are experts on how to keep the cold air out and your heating dollars in. Need to caulk gaps, weather strip your windows and doors, replace your furnace filter, get a programmable thermostat? All of these things are easy with help from Ace. So stop by your nearby Ace Hardware store this weekend. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Poor Walmart. One day it's a peacock, the next day a feather duster. On October 25th, the retailing behemoth was basking in media reports about its new plan to reduce energy use. This was part of an overall PR push to buff up the battered image of the heavy-handed giant, so on this day, Walmart's honchos were strutting with all of their corporate tail feathers fanned. Then came October 26th, and the peacock's plumes drooped. An internal corporate memo had been leaked to the media showing a bird of a different feather. In it, an executive vice president sent a series of recommendations to the board of directors on ways to cut back on employees' benefits, thus saving the company $1 billion or so a year, while appearing for PR purposes to be offering more benefits. For example, the memo called for offering some education benefits as a lure to younger workers. How nice. But the real motive here is to push out workers who've been at Walmart for a while and have earned higher pay and more benefits. The memo noted that someone with a 7-year tenure costs the corporation 55% more than a first-year worker, yet is no more productive. Better to ratchet up the turnover and rid the company of those more expensive veterans. Not nice. Other not nice recommendations were to hire more part-time workers. They don't get benefits. Cut 401k contributions by 1/4 and slash company-paid life insurance benefits by nearly a third. Also, the memo admits that nearly half of the children of Walmart's workers either have no health insurance at all or are on Medicaid. And while the company says it will offer a new health plan, it'll require out-of-pocket expenses so high that most of the low-wage workers will be priced out of the action. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the memo and the real Walmart, go to WalmartWatch.com.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-THOM, 440-8466. The website, TomHartman.com, if you want to drop by. However you spell it, will get you there. And you need to drop in into our live chat room and say hello to the many fine folks there. Find out what's the buzz all about. What's this thing with chat? I understand strange things go on in chat rooms. But you can find out. Just go to TomHartman.com and click the live chat room link. And come on in and say hi. Alito, Justice Alito, or Judge Alito, wants to become Justice Alito. This is fascinating. Watch this dance. This is absolutely fascinating. Here's this guy. He's out there now basically saying, well, you know, back in 1985, when I wrote that thing about how I wanted to overturn Roe v. Wade, I was just sucking up, just trying to get a job. He's essentially saying that he was lying in order to get a job back in 85, and therefore everything should be fine. And in fact, several Democratic senators have now said, oh, okay, you were lying to get a job. We understand. That's fine. You're okay with us now. You say, hey, what? If he was lying to get that job, is he lying to get this job? You know, how could these Democratic senators go, well, he's a very charming guy. In fact, you know, as he's trying to put some distance here between himself, where he says he personally believed that a woman's right to choose is not protected by the Constitution. But as the Boston Globe pointed out, Albert Lauber, who served with Alito in the Solicitor General's office, said Alito had been instrumental in drafting arguments for why the court should uphold laws in Pennsylvania and Illinois, which impose numerous restrictions on abortions. Now, this is very different from the argument that John Roberts was making. John Roberts was saying, you know, all that anti-abortion stuff and all those kind of right-wing positions I was taking. Ignore the fact that my wife is the head of the anti-abortion, the women's lawyers anti-abortion group. Ignore that. All that anti-abortion stuff that I was doing, that was really, you know, those positions I was taking them because I was working for the Reagan administration. It was my job to take those positions. And that was a logic, strange as it may be. I mean, you know, it kind of assumes that people are willing to take jobs and do aggressively, enthusiastically do things that they really disagree with. And, you know, and then that's just fine with them. They just kind of get along with that. But in any case, it's a logic that has a few problems associated with it, because here you've got, with regard to Alito, because you've got Alito making the case that, well, this was just, well, actually, this was just what I had to say to get a job, which is different than saying this is what I had to say to be on the job, and now it's, you know, becoming this kind of, well, okay, I believe that then, but I don't believe that now. And at the same time, you've got George W. Bush saying, now, again, let me just back up a little bit here. This 1985, 20 years ago, ironically, this is incredibly ironic, 20 years ago, Sam Alito, I am particularly proud of my contributions in recent cases in which the government has argued in the Supreme Court that racial and ethnic quotas should not be allowed and that the Constitution does not protect a right to an abortion. So here we are. He is opposed to affirmative action of any sort. And he is opposed to a woman's right to have to an abortion. And now the conservatives are out there saying, well, you know, he said that 20 years ago. That doesn't count. But you'll recall George W. Bush, when he put forward Harriet Myers in his speech to the people, he said, thirdly, I told her, I know her well enough to be able to say she's not going to change. That 20 years from now, she'll be the same person with the same philosophy that she is today. And that's important to me. It was important to me when I picked Chief Justice Roberts, and it's important to me in picking Harriet Myers. So it's like logic has turned itself inside out. You know, where are these people going with this thing? What are they doing with it? I mean, it's just, it was different then. I was an advocate seeking a job. It was a political job. That's what he told Dianne Feinstein. Translation, just lying to get a job. And then Britt Hume comes out and tries to make excuses for it. This, you know, Fox News anchor, he's talking about, well, Hume says, but those were not personal views he was discussing in all fairness, were they? And Morton Kondracki says, well, politically his own. And Hume says, no, he said that these were the legal arguments that he made as a lawyer in the Reagan Justice Department. He was in the Solicitor Office, General's Office, and played a role in making these arguments in the Supreme Court. He was arguing against Roe v. Wade. No, sorry, Hume. Alito himself wrote in the letter, I personally believe very strongly in this legal position on privacy rights. Apparently, Britt Hume was quoting Chief Justice John Roberts during his confirmation hearings when he said, quote, his early writing simply, or it was said of him by the administration, his early writing simply mirrored the policies of two Republican presidents for whom he worked. But as the New York Times reported, and Think Progress reports, unlike memorandums from Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr.'s work for the Reagan administration released during his confirmation, Judge Alito's application describes only his personal views, not those of his employers. Ironically, Think Progress, they note this, Britt Hume should at least have the decency to update his own spin. I agree! 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Why I shop at Borders for holiday gifts. Let's compare.
I hope you'll think of me every time you use this 9-volt variable speed executive nose hair trimmer.
Or
I hope you'll think of me every time you listen to this CD of romantic piano concertos.
At Borders, you'll find hundreds of thoughtful gifts for under $10. Borders, open up a season of surprises.
A Showtime original television event. They could be your neighbors.
The funny thing about a team of holy warriors.
They could be your friends.
Look at you, blonde hair, blue eyes. That's why I'm the perfect weapon.
And they could be planning the next terrorist attack.
Well, this isn't Chechnya or Jerusalem. Zilla.
The New York Times calls Sleeper Cell, unlike any other program produced for American television. Sleeper Cell begins Sunday, December 4th at 10, 9 central, only on Showtime.
Judgment Day.
Rose Bynum, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on a company with bigger responsibilities.
I believe we have to do more than just develop drugs. We have to try to help people who need them get them. I couldn't work for a company that didn't believe the same thing. I've been at GSK 17 years. Believe me, we're here to help everyone.
To learn about our access programs, call 1-888-825-5249. GlaxoSmithKline.
This is Larry King. If you want to protect your immune health, you should know about the C I take. EsterC, an advanced form of vitamin C that's quickly absorbed. EsterC works in your immune system for 24 hours, helping you get the protection your body needs. So do what I do. Protect yourself with EsterC. Advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for Advanced Protection EsterC and EsterE everywhere vitamins are sold.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. More than 250,000 workers took to the streets in cities of Australia on Tuesday to protest proposed industrial relation reforms. The reforms encourage workers to sign individual contracts with employers and would exempt small businesses from unfair dismissal claims by fired workers. One of the primary concerns is the change to wage laws in that country. Kenneth Beazley, leader of Australia's opposition party and candidate for Prime Minister.
My first act as Prime Minister of this nation will be to stand on the steps of Parliament and rip these laws up. Go!
Democracy for America, the political action committee headed by Jim Dean, is raising money to put the voices of those touched by the Iraq War on the radio. Dean says these people telling their personal stories will reveal the truth about the war.
We're trying to bring this war home to all of America. And I think one of the ways to do that is to collect people's stories about how the war has affected their own families, themselves, their communities, and get that word out.
Dean says politicians of both parties need to be pushed to action on ending the Iraq War, and these stories will help do that.
What we're trying to do is push political leaders to start talking about this. And then frank and with straight talk. They say stay the course, and I'm saying what course? You know, we have an administration that makes Lyndon Johnson look like General Eisenhower, but we got to get these folks home now because we're not getting anywhere over there right now.
Democracy for America's website is taking donations to pay for radio ads to put the voices of those personally affected by the war on the air. The website address is democracyforamerica.com.
The Global Labor News Service, laborstart.org, has now added laborstart.tv. Much like its text and audio predecessors, LaborStart TV collects labor news from around the globe and collects it all in one place. Eric Lee is the founding editor of LaborStart, and he says he hopes that LaborStart TV will show the worldwide labor movement what can be done with video.
I'm hoping it'll have the same effect that LaborStart has had, only bigger. That is, it'll show people more or less in real time what's actually happening in the labor movement. It'll give them a different take on what's happening in the world. It will make them feel themselves part of a much bigger thing than their own union.
Here's today's economic report. With private pensions underfunded by $450 billion, according to the Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation, the shift away from traditional pensions to 401ks is hurting workers. Employers provided an average of $1.43 an hour worked for pensions, but they provide just 43 cents an hour worked for 401ks. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is supposed to guarantee pensions when companies go bankrupt, itself is underfunded by roughly $23 billion. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Indeed. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Welcome back to the program. You know, you have to keep in mind, when we're talking about Alito and all these things, the Supreme Court has, you know, been through a lot of variations over the years, a lot of permutations, as it were. And there was a time in the last century. This was, you know, back during the administration, I believe, of Calvin Coolidge it must have been Herbert Hoover. It may have been a little earlier than that, that the Supreme Court of the United States ruled, for example, that it was unconstitutional to have minimum wage laws. They ruled that it was unconstitutional to have workplace protection laws. They certainly would have ruled that anything resembling affirmative action was unconstitutional. I mean, back then, the Supreme Court was upholding segregation in the United States. Abortion was illegal. And all of these things were, you know, just fine. And this is the court that these guys want to take us back to. That's what, in my opinion, this is what makes it important. This is where there's something really significant that we need to be looking at with regard to this. 1-866-440-THOM, our telephone number, 866-440-8466. Mike in Sonoma, California. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hello, Tom. In listening the several things that you've brought up, I still can't help but look at things and more a macro basis, and that is that our new Fed chairman is going to be just a chip off the old block, and that does relate, as far as I'm concerned, to everything else that you've spoken about this morning. Well, not necessarily the Supreme Court justice, Supreme Court judge, but
well, really, in a way, Mike, if I may interrupt you for a second, it's
please,
part of the whole fabric, because, you know, Greenspan came out and said, and it was published in the Wall Street Journal, and I believe it was Chuck Collins who wrote it in his book. I'll have to go back and look, but in any case, Greenspan came out and said that he viewed part of his job as maintaining a certain level of worker insecurity, so that workers would not demand pay raises, because part of his job was to prevent wage inflation. And therefore he had to use interest rates, raising interest rates to increase unemployment, so that there would be a certain threshold level of unemployment at all times, so that there would be worker insecurity, so that workers would not demand more pay, so you wouldn't have inflation.
Exactly.
That's the same thing. I mean, the Supreme Court was supporting that back in the teens.
Right. That's why I brought up the subject, because I mean,
right,
your first interview with the person that was obviously a libertarian. I mean, sounded like one.
Yeah, Competitive Enterprise Institute is somewhere between libertarian and heavily corporate supported. So you know, you're getting the modern day conservative positions,
right,
by and large.
Well, I mean, if you even break that thing down to a smaller degree, back when we did have a little bit of reserve oil, well, actually, we had quite a bit, we thought, here in the United States, those people that worked out in the oil fields had extremely good salaries or hourly wages.
Mm-hmm.
They made a fair amount of money. They were middle class that were able to actually live that. I mean, they had kind of dangerous lives. They lived, I guess, a kind of urban cowboy sort of. No,
mm-hmm.
That's not.
You're talking about the wildcatters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they did fairly well for a while, but they could maintain things. But see, that under what, you know, the basis of what he was speaking about, that's not going to hold water anymore. And
yeah, the
Greenspan is going to get right back at these same people that were at that time going out there and laboring their tookuses off,
yeah,
for to produce our oil that would,
yeah,
produce
the subtext. The subtext of Sam's message was basically: we the people have no business regulating free enterprise or regulating the car industry or any other industry. Period. And essentially, Greenspan would have said the same thing. I mean, Greenspan was initiated into the cult of objectivism in Ayn Rand's apartment in New York City in the 1950s, 56, I think the year was, although it might be 65. Sometimes I mix those up. But I think here's the spooky thing, Mike, is today the front page of the Money and Investing section of the Wall Street Journal: bond signal challenges ahead. The U.S. economy, the bond market, they say, is signaling trouble ahead. This, investors and economists say, is the bond market's way of saying that the Fed's efforts to fight inflation could take a toll on overstretched homeowners and tip the economy into recession. And then they quote this guy, who's a chief investment officer at Smith-affiliated Capital in New York. He manages $1.4 billion in bond funds, Robert Smith. And he says, what that's telling you is that the Fed is going to be successful in popping the real estate bubble. So, you know, and which is the only thing that's holding this economy together, frankly, because the consumers have no more money because average pay is so far down. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, the wildcatters you were talking about and the guys working on the oil rigs got good pay because good pay was the norm in the United States. 70% of Americans had the equivalent of a union job because 35% of Americans were unionized. And now we have a private labor, private union workforce in the United States that's around 8-9%. And so the norms have changed. Mike, I got to move along, but thanks for the call.
Okay, you pretty much followed up and said exactly what I wanted to lead on to anyway. So
great. Okay.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Sure enough. Good to hear from you, Mike. I appreciate it. Phil in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Phil, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Giorgio Scalito.
Mm-hmm.
My big concern with him is his interpretation of the Interstate Commerce Clause, which no one talks about. The rationale for striking down the machine gun sales was that Congress had no right to legislate that aspect of it. Well, that the Interstate Commerce Clause was the foundation of all our civil rights legislation. And
right.
See it standing in front of Rosa Parks' casket, that was one of the vomit, because if he was on the court, he would have voted against most of those.
Yeah. Now, Phil, let's just explain this to our listeners, because I have a feeling that a lot of people don't really understand what you're talking about here, or if they do, they have a gut feeling about it, but they don't know how to explain it to their friends. For winning the water cooler wars, tell me if I have your take right, because this is my take on it. Back in the 60s, back in the late 60s, after the civil rights laws were passed, Bobby Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson and others, as time went on, they had to enforce these laws, and they would go into these southern states, and it started out with desegregation of the schools, but with Brown v. Board of Education, you had Lester Maddox and whatnot, but then it was, how do you force the integration of a lunch counter? And you had, the lunch counters that were like locally owned businesses. And the Constitution has this thing called the Commerce Clause. And the Commerce Clause says, now the Ninth and Tenth Amendments of the Constitution say that any grant of the government go back to the states, go to the people. Okay, that's the Ninth and Tenth Amendments of the Constitution. And so the Commerce Clause says that the only time that the federal government essentially can insert itself into the affairs of business is if those business affairs have to do with commerce between the states. In other words, the federal government has the right to regulate commerce between the states. And so I believe it was Bobby Kennedy who first made the argument that the integration that if somebody was being discriminated against at a lunch in the States said, no, it doesn't. This lunch counter says, well, yes, it does, because he's serving ketchup that was made in Connecticut, and he's serving mustard that was made in California, and he's serving lettuce that came from Texas. He is involved in interstate commerce, even though it's locally owned. And admittedly, it was a stretch, but everybody went along with it because there was a social good that was being accomplished, even if it wasn't necessarily what was in the minds of the founders. And what Alito would do is roll us back before that era. He would say, no, in fact, the government doesn't have the right to involve itself unless it's one corporation in Ohio and one corporation in Michigan trying to do business with each other. Then the government can regulate that. Am I accurately making your point?
You are dead on, 100% correct. And that was the basis for his striking down of the machine gun statute from Congress. And he would use the same logic and to turn on his head civil rights legislation, discrimination statutes, because of the fact that he feels that government has no right to make those decisions.
Right, and Alito's argument when he overturned or when he argued that the sale of machine guns could not be regulated by the federal government because it had nothing to do with interstate commerce is, to me, particularly bizarre. Because machine guns are sold on an interstate basis, although he was talking about in a local store to a local person. That was his point. And it was the exact same argument that was used in the lunch counter case with Bobby Kennedy.
Absolutely. And I think people need to start being very, very careful of supporting this guy, especially the Democrats, because, yeah, he looks like a mainstream person, but his views are even maybe to the right of Scalia in some instances.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Scalia is about as far right as you can get. Although I'm telling you, a year from now we're all going to be sitting around going, "At John Roberts, we had no idea what a right winger this guy is." Particularly in the corporatist mold, and that's frankly, I think the biggest threat that we face right now is the threat of corporations rising up and I was going to say taking over the country, taking over the rest of the country. they control already is truly, truly amazing. Phil, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. And thanks for raising these issues. I mean, this is people don't realize what's at stake here. We're talking about saying, you know, it's not just affirmative action. It's not just, you know, shall the University of Michigan have you know, a certain number of people of a particular race or religion or, you know, national origin or whatever be admitted to the school. I mean, this is much bigger than that. This goes to the whole issue of whether we, the people, collectively can decide what kind of society we want to live in or whether some corporation's going to decide it. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
Hey, John Madden here for Ace Hardware. With energy prices expected to be sky high this winter, it's a great time to stop by your neighborhood Ace store and find out how to prepare your home. The helpful folks at Ace are experts on how to keep the cold air out and your heating dollars in. Need to caulk gaps, weather strip your windows and doors, replace your furnace filter, get a programmable thermostat? All of these things are easy with help from Ace. So stop by your nearby Ace Hardware store this weekend. Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Do the iPod Shuffle at Small Dog Electronics. Whether you hip-hop, rock, shuffle, workout, or get down, there's an iPod for you, starting at just $99. iPod Shuffles, Minis, the original iPod, and iPod Photo let you store your favorite music and shuffle to your ear's content from 120 to 15,000 songs. Check out your iPod choices today at smalldog.com or call at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS.
We've learned a lot about climate change in the last 20 years, but gaps in our knowledge remain unfilled. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Andrew Revkin has been covering climate change since the 1980s. Revkin is a science writer with the New York Times and the author of Global Warming: Understanding the Forecast. He wrote it in 1992, and it was one of the earlier books on the subject. Revkin says the prevailing view of climate change has evolved over the last two decades.
There was this idea that warming would happen, sort of like a slow ratcheting up of a thermostat. But what's come most dramatically since then is a clearer sense that climate doesn't move like a smooth process like that. It can move in big jumps and in unexpected ways.
Revkin says the development of more powerful computers has helped clarify the climate change picture. But he says the models themselves still don't answer many questions.
You have models that are computer simulations of how the world works that still are pretty rough sketches.
Questions.
You have models that are computer simulations of how the world works that still are pretty rough sketches of the world. They dice up the atmosphere into a grid of boxes. There are equations that represent how air and energy move between one box and the next one, and then you link that to a model of the oceans, and you hope that you've got all the theory right.
Revkin says the atmosphere is an infinitely complex system. He says we don't yet understand how variables such as cloud formations might change the outcome.
It's those secondary feedbacks that are very, very powerful drivers of more warming. If your model doesn't behave the way the real atmosphere does in terms of how clouds work, then there's a big uncertainty factor. And that's where we're at right now because things like clouds are not really well understood very well yet.
Revkin says scientists also have to cope with gaps in the data they have to work with. For example, they have little information on temperature trends in Africa, one of the world's largest landmasses. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Shopping for Dad's gift online, but I'm... A what?
A Film Movement subscription. It's like a watch at a discount.
Well, he is always saying how he wishes the film festivals would come to him. So how do I get a Film Movement subscription?
Well, you go to airamericaradio.com, click on the Film Movement banner, and you'll get a discount that makes the price of each DVD in your subscription only $11.90 each.
Finally, a gift I know he'll use.
There's only one Film Movement. To join the DVD of the Month Club Newsweek says is designed to reach the ordinarily neglected movie lover, go to airamericaradio.com now, click on the Film Movement banner, and get your Film Movement discount now. Hurry, supplies are limited.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Passion for the warriors, whose strength is not to fight. Flashing for the refugees on the unarmed road of flight. And for each and every underdog, soldier in the night. And we gazed upon the giant.
And welcome back, my friends. 9.5 minutes before the hour is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS, for the latest iPods, all things Macintosh, and really all things computer. Give them a call, 1-800-511-MAX, Small Dog Electronics. Good people, been supporting this program for, geez, over 2 years now. Here, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the True People's Radio. 9 minutes before the hour, our telephone number 1-866-440-8466. That's 440-THOM. And Patrick in Orlando, Florida, on the line. Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's up, Patrick?
I was absolutely horrified to hear that Alito stated that his opinions back then, he could excuse those because he was working for the Reagan administration and then that was his job to have that opinion.
Well, no, he didn't say that. That's what Brett Hume said on Fox News. And that was John Roberts' excuse. When John Roberts was arguing against abortion and against affirmative action, he was doing so as a lawyer for the Reagan administration. And that was his defense. And the Democrats bought that. I think it was dumb, but the Democrats bought it. Alito was not working for anybody when he was making some of these arguments. He was trying to get a job. This was essentially from a job application, and he was saying, this is my personal belief, and this is why I want to work for you. And so Brett Hume on Fox was actually quoting Roberts and talking about Alito.
I am just absolutely horrified. If that's not a cult of personality, I mean, isn't that the excuse that the Goebbels and all the people under the Hitler's regime used, I was just doing my job, and because I was working for them, I had to adopt their views and go along with them.
Well, you could make that argument about John Roberts. In the case of Mr. Alito here, of Judge Alito, it's more what he's saying essentially now is, hey, years ago, I said those things in order to get a job. I was lying to get a job. And right now, I'd like you to give me a job. And by the way, I'm not lying now.
If this is the way our government, I'm just I'm about ready to try and have children, and I'm horrified to the world that I'm going to be bringing these children into.
Well, that's why it's so important, Patrick, that we all get active and make this a better world for you and your children. And grandchildren, may they come. So if you show up at your local county Democratic Party meeting or your Green Party meeting, I mean, start getting active. Show up. Go to democracyforamerica.com and sign up for one of their meetups. Get out there and participate in the political process. Yes, voting is the very, very least. It's amazing how many Americans don't. Patrick, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, and good on you for bringing up these issues. I mean, this is just incredible. It's really, I don't know how I, by the way, did you hear Cheney? Dick Cheney was heckled. Here he is. He's giving this this speech. And in the middle of the speech, he gets into this thing about, the hecklers, as it were, come out. Well, here, let me just play this for you. This is great. Actually, I suppose I should first tell you what they're saying. Where'd it go? Here, I thought I had it right here in front of me. I guess I. Oh, here it is. Cheney being heckled. The protesters, they were saying, "War. What is it good for?" Remember that song? "War. What is it good for?" And you know, the nothing. And then they had a banner saying, "Peace now." And then there was also signs that said, "Honor Baker," because this was about honoring Howard Baker, the senator from Tennessee. "Impeach Cheney." So here it is.
Howard went to Washington in 1967 as the first properly elected Republican senator from this great state. Though young, Senator Baker was quickly judged to be wise beyond his years and gained the kind of respect usually reserved for an elder statesman. The great journalist Theodore White.
Yeah, Dick, you can run, but you can't hide. It's called the people. You know, the flip side of that, of course, they dragged those people out of the room. And we don't know where they are now. Actually, in all probability, they were simply booked for some minor thing and released, although I haven't seen a news report on that, frankly. Maybe they are being held in an undisclosed location. Maybe they are being held. They aren't in Guantanamo Bay. But that's the horror story here. You've got this vote in the Senate a couple of days ago to suspend habeas corpus for the first time since the 1870s during the Ulysses S. Grant administration, so that Cheney can put people in prison. You got Cheney saying, "Oh no, we've got to torture people. We've got to have that option for the CIA." And I've got to tell you, I think that this is a retrospective thing. I think that it's going to come out. In fact, it is coming out. It has come out. That the CIA has been involved in torturing people, and these guys, he's trying to provide them with some cover, because in all probability, if they were doing it, they were doing it at Cheney's behest. And so, you know, he's trying to cover his own butt. He's trying to protect the people who have the same political philosophy as him. And it's a disaster. Torture does not produce good results. This is why you've got people like Senator John McCain, nobody questioning this guy's patriotic credentials. John McCain was there for his country when it needed him. Nobody questioning him. And nobody questioning John McCain's moral authority or expertise to speak about torture. I mean, he gave away the offensive line of the Green Bay Packers or something. I mean, they were torturing him, wanting to know the names of his compatriots. And he lists a bunch of football players. So it's, of course, people, when they're tortured, they'll say things, but it may not, you know, is it of any value? Probably not. And in fact, now we're finding out that a lot of the intelligence that we went to war based on in Iraq may have come from people that we snatched in Afghanistan that maybe we were torturing, and therefore it was unreliable. It's 57 minutes past the hour.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
This is Blade Runner. Lots of you truck drivers know me. You guys are the salt of the earth, and Blade Runner's here to help you drivers slash your fuel costs. Come on. I'm here to tell you about Motor Silk Engine Treatment. It's not another oil additive. Developed and patented by the Department of Energy for NASA and used for years by big business in the U.S. military. It's the most effective friction-reducing technology ever. I tried it. It works. Friction is the enemy. And let me tell you, Motor Silk takes no prisoners. Less friction, less fuel. That's right. Add Motor Silk just one time to your engine and fuel system, and you'll see up to 15% better fuel mileage. That's over $5,000 in savings a year. Listen up. At today's fuel prices, you can't afford not to use Motor Silk. Call a lubrication specialist at Evergreen America from 7 to 7 Eastern. Dial 866-LESS-FUEL. That's right, 866-LESS-FUEL. Or see me at evergreenamerica.com. Blade Runner, I'm out.
Are you in debt? Imagine for a minute taking that overwhelming mound of mail and bills you get and tearing them to shreds and pieces. Now imagine taking that never-ending phone that rings and rings and rings with creditors and having it stop. If you want to take that dark cloud in your life and make it a sunny day, call the debt management experts at Genesis Financial today for a free confidential analysis. Our goal is to help you be completely debt-free in 3 to 5 years. When you sign up with us, you only write one check, not dozens, and you choose your own payment date. We'll stop all your late and over-limit fees and all the harassing phone calls. Call the debt management experts at nonprofit Genesis Financial right now. 800-981-7591, 800-981-7591, that's 800-981-7591.
Air America Radio News, good afternoon. I'm Isaac Davy Aronson. Iraq's main Sunni Arab political party is demanding an international investigation into allegations that security forces illegally detained and tortured suspected insurgents at secret jails in Baghdad. Omar Haykal of the Iraqi Islamic Party said it was now clear that majority Shiites in the U.S.-backed government were trying to suppress minority Sunnis ahead of the December 15th parliamentary elections. Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafri confirmed yesterday that more than 173 Interior Ministry prisoners were found malnourished and possibly tortured by government security forces at a Baghdad lockup. In continuing violence near Baghdad, the U.S. military says a fourth Marine died yesterday when a car bomb exploded about 50 miles west of the capital. Earlier, the military reported three Marines died in a separate roadside bombing near the city. Elsewhere, U.S. and Iraqi forces continue to sweep through what's being called an insurgent stronghold near the Syrian border. Although they've encountered pockets of fierce resistance, the troops have destroyed five unexploded car bombs and killed at least 30 people. French police say the country is returning to an almost normal situation, with arson attacks diminishing around the country after 3 weeks of unrest. And it is to vote shortly on extending the country's state of emergency. Police said 163 vehicles were torched overnight, down from 215 the previous night, a continuing downward drop. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid expressed significant concerns about Supreme Court nominee Sam Alito in a speech on the Senate floor this morning, calling Alito one of the most conservative judges in the United States. Reid said President Bush should have consulted with Democrats about the nomination instead of clearing his choice with right-wing activists. Reid promised that Alito would get a thorough and dignified confirmation process. The Senate Banking Committee has approved the nomination of Ben Bernanke to be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve. Bernanke, the chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisers, is expected to be approved by the full Senate as soon as a vote is scheduled. 79-year-old Alan Greenspan retires January 31st after serving over 18 years. House and Senate negotiators have struck a tentative deal on the expiring Patriot Act that would curb FBI subpoena power and require the Justice Department to more fully report its secret requests for information about ordinary people. This according to officials involved in the talks. The agreement, which would make most provisions of the existing law permanent, was reached just before dawn today. But GOP leaders have already made plans for a House vote on Thursday and a Senate vote by the end of the week. House Democrats complain that they were shut out of the last phase of the talks, a charge Republican negotiators deny. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Isaac Davy Aronson.
News brought to you by LendingTree.com. Call now to take advantage of home equity rates as low as 5.74% APR. Call 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
If getting life insurance is on your things to do list, now you can get a term life policy in just 10 minutes. 10 minutes to get up to $250,000 of term life insurance if you qualify through Jefferson National Life Insurance Company. Call now for a free quote. 1-866-492-2500. With Jefferson National, there's no medical exam, no long forms, and no agent will visit you. Just take 10 minutes over the phone. If you qualify, your term life coverage starts right away. Call now. 1-866-492-2500. Getting life insurance has never been easier to cross off your list. Contains limitations not available in all states. Term life issued by Jefferson National, Dallas, Texas, under form number JNL-SEL-03 and the American Life Now. 1-866-492-2500. 1-866-492-2500. That's 1-866-492-2500.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations all across this great land of ours. Alec DeBro is with us with the International Labor Communications Association, ILCAonline.org. Hey, Alec.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I am just great, but I'll get better.
Very good.
Tell me about Malawi.
Malawi, an example of worldwide privatization. Recent story in the Washington Post, food shortages followed dismantling of state-run farm system. The story is that Malawi, like many developing countries, is under pressure from the international financial institutions and the debting nations to liberalize its economy, that is, to allow foreign investment and ownership. So the government sold off its dismantled the state-run agricultural system and sold off state food reserves at times, leaving nothing for emergencies. Right now, half the people in Malawi are in danger of starving to death. And this
now, but Alec, the argument that would be made by the right on this, or even I think by kind of middle of the road advocates of free enterprise, is that much of the blame for that disaster could be placed on an inefficient, clumsy, excessively bureaucratic state-run agricultural system that, while it might have been producing food and getting food to people, certainly wasn't producing surpluses and certainly hadn't made any kind of a transitional process easy.
Well, presumably what you do if you trade systems is you try to trade up rather than down. It's quite true that the efficiencies of some of these economies by the standards of the developed world are not great. But when you live at the level that people in Malawi are living, you must, above all, make sure that they are able to sustain themselves. And a Harvard anthropologist who studied Malawi said that the new agricultural policy was politically driven, as if we didn't know that. And she said, quote, they basically destroyed the public systems, expecting the private market to leap into place, which, of course, it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that the private systems that they're trying to impose are not geared to feeding people. They're geared to profit. That is, there are, in fact, very efficient plantations in Malawi raising food for the export market. But this is doing, at the moment, nothing for the mass of people there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a case of privatization gone very, very badly. And basically, this is the reason for the protests that greeted Bush in Argentina. It was this policy throughout Latin America. Yeah, the proponent.
Although Malawi is not part of South America. Malawi is an African nation, isn't it?
Quite true. I'm just saying that this is a worldwide trend, and that it's being felt in Latin America as well as Africa.
I have a sense that a lot of the anger that Bush was confronting in South America had to do with this kind of two larger processes that have to do with the United States' relation with the South American countries and Central American countries. One being that we subsidize agriculture, particularly corn, which is a staple food in that part of the world. And because of our subsidies of corn, corn has become so cheap in those countries it's wiping out small farmers.
I mean,
they're having to leave their farms. They just, you know, they can't afford to stay in the farming business. They're just they're blown out of business. And the second is that we have been setting up these factories, these maquiladora factories, in border places in some areas, near shipping areas, near airports and things like that, where we can exploit cheap labor. We built these factories. There was a micro boom in the economy, local booms in the economy. And in some cases, the factories have become essentially even viewed by the locals as something close to slave labor, as sweatshops. You know, I gave up my farm for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in other cases, we ran them for a few years, and then China opened up, and we said, labor's cheaper in China. We're going to go to China. And so there's all these empty factories. And neither of those have to do with the privatization of state industries, but it's, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Alec, but I think that those are the two main things that are driving rage against the United States and Central and South America, are they not?
Well, that is part of it, but the protests are against the broader platform of what's called neoliberalism, and very much of that has to do with the dismantling of the state system. And there were, in fact, components of the protest that were specifically aimed at this. That's what you saw happen in Argentina, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, as far as driving out the farmers out of business with subsidized corn, that's absolutely true. But the effect in Malawi is that people can't even afford to buy cheap U.S. corn. They are subsistence people who could only get by with the help of a state-run system. In any case, it is a very broad subject on privatization, and I did want to bring it up as a labor issue. And, you know, I mean, one of the aspects of the issue is, of course, protecting the jobs of public workers. This is a legitimate concern. But the fact is, privatization, like in Malawi, but even in the developed world, affects those with the least money the most, because even a poorly run state system does help those.
Yeah, I mean, this is the delicate dance that we all have to figure out. And this
mm-hmm.
is the debate, frankly, Alec, that I think that we should be having in the United States and that isn't being discussed. Where do you draw these lines? There are those who are suggesting, I mean, one extreme Folks like we had in the first hour of this program, we had a guy on from the Competitive Enterprise Institute basically saying that the government should play no role whatsoever in how business does business, including the oil industry and the automobile industries, and the marketplace will take care of things. And then on the other hand, you've got Karl Marx saying the government should own all the means of supply and distribution, and that everybody should work for the government, everybody should receive from the government, and in his paradisical view, the government would be fully engaged with and by the people, and that, from each according to his means to each according to his needs. And we've seen that in a kibbutz or in a small, in a community, in a commune, that works. In fact, it really is the essence of tribal life all over the world and has been for a couple hundred thousand years in human beings. But once you get beyond 150 people or so, it just stops working. Because people can game the system and you end up with, the Soviet system kind of thing. So where do we draw the lines? What do we say is appropriate as a state industry? I mean, we've decided that we want our police to be a state industry. We want our army to be a state industry, although it's being privatized by this administration.
Well,
we want our water to be state industry, although that's being privatized. Our septic, although in some places that's being privatized. Our power used to be state industries. It's being privatized. I mean, where do we draw these lines? What do you have any kind of criteria?
Well, first of all, I don't have personal criteria. I mean, to the extent whatever works, works. But the truth is every modern economy is a mix of state-run and private enterprise. There are none that are entirely one way or the other.
Right.
And moreover, it's not a fixed thing. People, we've lived our entire lives in the time of military contractors. But prior to that, the military built its own munitions, its own ships, its own supplies.
It owned its own shipyards.
That's right. And even smaller things. There were no $700 hammers and $1,000 toilet seats because that was a controlled process.
No, go ahead, Al.
They changed that. Broaden what the military could buy? Sure. Did it modernize things? Yeah. But it also brought its own problems. The idea of the competitive enterprise people of freeing business entirely from regulation is nonsense, and they don't even want it. Do you really want a totally unregulated medical system where anybody can set up a shop and say they're a doctor? I don't think so.
The Ayn Rand folks would say yes. They would say what will happen is people will figure out who's a good doctor and a bad doctor, and maybe you don't even need a medical degree to be a good doctor. I can't say that for sure that that's their position, but I would guess that it would be.
Well, I'm dubious about it.
I share your dubiety or whatever the appropriate word is. But this is on my side of it, Alec. I would say that what will happen is people will figure out who's a good doctor and a bad doctor, and maybe you don't even need a medical degree to be a good doctor. I can't say that for sure that that's their position, but I would guess that it would be.
Well, I'm dubious about it, and
I share your dubiety or whatever the appropriate word is. But this is on my side of it, Alec. I would say that it would have to do with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That had to do with basic survival stuff. Should be considered part of the commons and should be subject at least to regulation and in some cases actually to ownership. And that those things that don't, I don't want the government making money. LCAonline.org. Alec, thanks for being with us today.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Take
care. It's 16 minutes past the hour.
This is Larry King with something. It's non-acidic, so it's gentle on your stomach. Plus, EsterC is quickly absorbed and works for 24 hours. So do what I do. Take EsterC. Advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for Advanced Protection EsterC and EsterE.
A series of recommendations to the board of directors on ways to cut back on employees' benefits, thus saving the company $1 billion or so a year, while appearing for PR purposes to be offering more benefits. For example, the memo called for offering some education benefits as a lure to younger workers. How nice. But the real move is to push out workers who've been at Walmart for a while, any of those more expensive veterans. Not nice. Other not nice recommendations were to hire more part-time workers. They don't get benefits. Cut part-time workers. They don't get benefits. Cut 401k contributions by one-fourth and slash company-paid life insurance benefits by nearly a third. Also, the memo admits that nearly half of the children of Walmart's workers either have no health insurance at all or are on Medicaid. And while the company says it will offer a new health plan, it'll require out-of-pocket expenses so high that most of the low-wage workers will be priced out of the action. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the memo and the real Walmart, go to WalmartWatch.com.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find
the American Library Association website, w.ala.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Shake it up. Shake it up.
Indeed. Let's shake up America here. Let's wake up America. Hey, notice what's going on in the world, my friends. We've got some serious problems, some things that we need to attend to, and a lot of really good things going on as well. Victoria Jones is with us with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, Tom. I just came out of a very interesting press conference held by Senators Cantwell, Boxer, and Lautenberg.
Well, that's an interesting combination.
It is a very interesting conversation. They are stating flat out that the oil CEOs lied to them. Not just false statements. Senator Boxer said lie probably more times than I can count. And in her case, she had written documented proof that the CEO of Shell lied to her. Senator Lautenberg, following the story in today's Post that they probably did attend Energy Task Force meetings, when after he asked each one of them, they flat no, is also saying that they lied. And Senator Cantwell is doing a bit more investigation, but she's sure that they lied.
That's amazing. Now, this brings to mind Ted Stevens. Can I just play a short clip here?
Task Force meetings, when after he asked each one of them, they flat no, is also saying that they lied. And Senator Cantwell is doing a bit more investigation, but she's sure that they lied.
That's amazing. Now, this brings to mind Ted Stevens. Can I just play a short clip here for you, Victoria?
Oh, please.
I think you'll be able to hear this. This is Senator Ted Stevens taking on Senator Cantwell. I'm pretty sure, Victoria.
Oh, please.
I think you'll be able to hear this. This is Senator Ted Stevens taking on Senator Cantwell. I'm pretty sure. Cantwell Murray, yeah, it was Cantwell from Washington State, and Barbara Boxer's in here. This is just 1 minute.
I shall not administer an oath today, and we look forward to questions. Senator Cantwell?
Mr. Chairman, I did send you a letter co-signed by eight of my colleagues and asking that the witnesses be sworn in.
Now she's talking about the oil industry executives.
Rare joint hearing.
I did not yield to make a statement. We're ready to go. We have a statement process.
Mr. Chairman, I would like that we swear.
There will be no vote. That's not in order at all. It's not part of the rules that any vote can be taken to administer an oath. It's the decision of the chairman, and I have made that decision.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we swear in. The witnesses.
And I rule that out of order.
I second the motion.
That was Barbara
Thank
Boxer.
Thank you very much.
Could I just ask
Barbara Boxer
just a little question?
Then they reduce capacity. They drive up price. This is what Enron did to California.
They also believe that, and flat out said that they don't believe anything else that they were told, and they said we demand supply of oil is. They believe, are starting to believe, that the supply of oil is being controlled negatively by the oil companies.
Yeah, which, you know, is the point I was just making there. The oil companies are taking refineries offline the same way that Enron took power plants offline.
Right.
And amazing. So what are they going to do? Are they calling for prosecution of these guys? Are they calling for more testimony? Are they, you know, do they have the power to do anything without...
Well, no, they don't have any power at all. I mean, seeing as they couldn't even get them sworn, they want the hearings reopened. They've written to Ted Stevens, I'm quite sure, in closing all. Lautenberg has asked the Attorney General to look into the CEO's allegedly lying about Vice President Cheney's task force, and he cites the law that they would have broken, because even though they wouldn't have committed...
Remarkable. Well, you know, let's hope.
I believe nicotine is not addictive.
You know,
and it just goes on. All seven
you're a psychic, because they quoted the oil executives.
The tobacco guys?
Sorry, they quoted the tobacco guys that particular question and answer. And they said that these guys are addicted to the high prices.
If these tobacco industry guys, I mean, one of them was the guy who's now the head of IBM, I believe. I'm missing his name, but it's none of them were ever prosecuted for lying to Congress. And they were sworn under oath. I mean, that's how the clip begins. Consider yourself under oath.
I don't think it's going to happen this time either. The likelihood of these hearings being reopened is minimal.
So lying under oath is only a crime if you're a Democrat and it's about turn. It's not a crime if you're a Republican business person and it's about the death of 400,000 Americans a year from nicotine addiction or the price of oil around the world.
You got it.
Jeez. Well, I guess I'm figuring this stuff out, Victoria. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. It's remarkable. Victoria Jones, TalkRadioNews.com, TalkRadio News Service. Always good talking with you. It's 27 minutes past the hour, the place where people get their news, the True People's Radio. I'm Tom Hartman.
Rose Bynum, a scientist at GlaxoSmithKline, on a company with bigger responsibilities.
I believe we have to do more than just develop drugs. We have to try to help people who need them get them. I believe the same thing. I've been at GSK 17 years. Believe me, we're here to help everyone.
To learn about our access programs, call 1-888-825-5249. GlaxoSmithKline.
Go back to school with a Mac and get $50 for textbooks at Small Dot Electronics. Right now, when you buy selected iBook, iMac, or PowerBook computers, you'll get a $50 gift certificate for textbooks at Amazon.com. And that's not all. Microsoft is offering a $35 rebate on the 2004 edition of Microsoft Office for students and teachers. Go back to school with a Mac. Shop today at Small Dot Electronics. Visit Small Dog at smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, John Madden here for Ace Hardware. With energy prices expected to be sky high this winter, it's a great time to stop by your neighborhood Ace store and find out how to prepare your home. The helpful folks at Ace are experts on how to keep the cold air out and your heating dollars in. Need to caulk gaps, weather strip your windows and doors, replace your furnace filter, get a programmable thermostat, see by your nearby Ace Hardware store this weekend. Ace.
Helpful hardware folks.
This is Larry King. If you're like me, you believe in taking vitamin C to protect your health. But are vitamin pills delicious? No. Then you need to check out Ester C Soft Chews. These orange-flavored chews are a great way to get the advanced protection of Ester C. I love them. My kids love them. And you will, too. Ester C Soft Chews. Advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for advanced protection. Ester C. Way to get the advanced protection of Ester C. I love them. My kids love them. And you will, too. Ester C Soft Chews. Advanced protection, Ester protection. Look for advanced protection, Ester's vitamins are sold.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell. More than 250,000 workers took to the streets in cities of Australia on Tuesday to protest proposed industrial relation reforms. The reforms encourage workers to sign individual contracts with employers and would exempt small businesses from unfair dismissal claims by fired workers. One of the primary concerns is the change to wage laws in that country. Kenneth Beazley, leader of Australia's opposition party and candidate for Prime Minister.
My first act as Prime Minister of this nation will be to stand on the steps of Parliament and rip these laws up. Go!
Democracy for
the Prime Minister of this nation will be to stand on the steps of Parliament and rip these laws up. Go!
Democracy for America, the political action committee headed by Jim Dean, is raising money to put the voices of those touched by the Iraq war on the radio. Dean said the truth about the war.
We're trying to put people's stories about how the war has affected.
Parties need to be pushed to action on
people's stories about how the war has affected.
Parties need to be pushed to action on ending the Iraq war. Will help do that.
What we're trying to do.
Address is democracyforamerica.laborstart.org
has now added Labor Start, and he says he hopes that Labor Start TV will show the worldwide labor movement what can be done with video.
I'm hoping it will have the same effect that Labor Start has had, only bigger. That is, it'll show people more or less in real time what's actually happening in the labor movement. It'll give them a different take on what's happening in the world. It'll make them feel themselves part of a much bigger thing than their own union.
Here's today's economic report. With private
free trial offer is Smoke Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they will send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates pitfalls. A guide to living smoke-free book. And for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit Smoke Free. Call 1-800-684-5908. That's
welcome back. Yeah, we definitely don't need no thought control. Welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with our phone number, 1-866-440-THOM. Website, Tom Hartman. Tom, if you want to drop into our live chat room and say hello. Billy in Colorado Springs, Colorado on the line.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments. It seems like there's a lot of lying going on up in Washington, D.C. And, you know, FYI, for your information and everybody else's information, Congress has a toll-free number I'd like to share with you and the listeners if anybody wants to make a comment to it.
I have a couple of their toll-free numbers.
Yeah, it's the toll-free number is 1-888-355-3588. That's the toll-free number to Congress.
That's one of
them. Also, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the media, Tom, about, you know, the Iraq war, and I think a lot of the propaganda from some of the news networks, you know, like Fox News, CNN, and some of the other networks, that basically, when they report on a story, repeatedly reported over and over, that they leave out, you know, important information that don't really give the overall story. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in the late 1940s, the CIA began a secret project called Operation Mockingbird, in which they wanted to start controlling the media. And, of course, even in 1975, Tom, the CIA admitted to Congress that they had, you know, important information that don't really give the overall story. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in the late 1940s, the CIA began a secret project called Operation Mockingbird, in which they wanted to start controlling the media. And, of course, even in 1975, Tom, the CIA admitted to Congress that they had over 400 journalists and reporters on the CIA payroll here in the United States to basically broadcast propaganda.
Now, here's the problem with this, Billy. The CIA is...
Even in 1975, Tom, the CIA admitted to Congress that they had over 400 journalists and reporters on the CIA payroll here in the United States to basically broadcast propaganda.
Now, here's the problem with this, Billy. The CIA is not a political organization.
You have
the CIA. I don't know if you've read the Cowboy versus the CIA is not a political organization. The CIA. I don't know if you've read the Cowboy versus the something or other wars. It was basically there was an excellent book. It had the word cowboy and wars in the title. It came out about 10 years ago, 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And it was basically about the battles going on inside the CIA.
Right.
Between Cowboy and Wars in the title. It came out about 10 years ago, 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And it was basically about the battles going on inside the CIA.
Right.
Between the people who were basically the cowboys, they thought of themselves as the cowboys, and the Ivy Leaguers, and the people who thought that the CIA should be this very professional organization and kind of very institutional and a lot of animosity there.
Pressure from the IMF, World Bank, and the United States government to deregulate, which has resulted in a global media system that is dominated by a small number super powerful transition.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Billy, although, again, I'd say that you're putting, you're placing, you're ascribing, you want to call it plot. I mean, it was all done right out in the open. They were quite upfront about it. It was all done by large multinational corporations that wanted to be larger in their multinational trade organization, the General Agreement on Tariff and Trades, and now the General Agreement on Tariffs and Services, and NAFTA and CAFTA and whatnot, that are all really the surrender of the sovereignty of the United States.
Important issues, government issues, corrupt government.
Would I'm sorry. What's that?
Important issues, government issues, corrupt government.
Would I'm sorry. What's that at me again? I'm sorry. I got distracted. I just have to say to Alex, there's nothing here generating that. It's coming.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, would you agree with me that some of the media propaganda tactics include like blackouts, misdirections, expert opinions to echo the establishment line, smears, mass entertainment, media distractions.
Yeah, but I would suggest the only media company that's actually, in my opinion, that's aggressively doing that kind of thing and doing it intentionally is Fox News.
Oh yeah, and Fox definitely is.
And the rest of the world. Well, it's the Republican propaganda channel, or you could say the Corp Conference. Then, you know, don't kick us too hard. You can kick us a little bit so it looks like we're being kicked, but don't kick us too hard.
Right.
And when Helen Thomas stood up and asked a hard question of George W. Bush, that was it. I mean, she had asked the first question in every press conference since Harry Truman, and of CNN, made a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. to assure George W. Bush that he would, that the coverage trade in a way that made him look like a bumbler or a screw-up or something.
Right.
And it was, you know, and it was a story that lasted for, like, you know, one day, and it vanished, and it wasn't reported widely. It was just a little thing I saw in the paper. I wish I'd clipped it out.
And don't get me wrong, Tom. Don't get me wrong. There are some good journalists out there, you know.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying, the problem, and I'm agreeing with you, that it's not so much the result of a conspiracy, particularly by government in particular, but we have turned so much power over to corporations, and we've
full. Exactly.
And, you know, not enforcing the Sherman Act, and information has been relegated basically to public view. It has to make information entertaining, so, you know, there's the left spin and the right spin, and public broadcasting is starting to go the way of corporate broadcasting, because increasingly, as we cut back on their funding, they're having to go to corporations and beg for money.
And also, Tom,
so they're taking the safe path.
You can basically find out a lot of the stuff going on at freewebs.com/GOV websites. That explains a lot of what's on in the world today.
Billy, if I got called me in, and, you know, you raised a lot of good points. Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hey, Roy, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Roy.
Call in. Hopefully we've got a few more minutes. Here in New Mexico, last week, in Bernalillo County, which is the largest county in New Mexico, includes Albuquerque, refused to allow representatives from the lawyers. New Mexico, last week, in Bernalillo County, which is the largest county in New Mexico, includes Albuquerque, refused to allow representatives from the lawyers, the plaintiff's lawyers, to inspect the voting machines. Now, this lady, it has been shown these machines result in erasures of citizens' votes. It's been shown that people that tried to vote on machines had their votes switched right in front of their eyes.
Roy, I'd like to get a little more information on this from you. Can you come up here but first, was any of this reported in the mainstream media in New Mexico?
Quite frankly, Tom, I don't buy the rags here.
So you don't know if it was in the local
really
newspaper?
I never heard it local, on the local radio news. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. And do you watch the local TV news?
I know that it was not reported. Secretary of State had received over 4,000.
Come. And that's not all. Microsoft is offering a $35 rebate on the 2004 edition of Microsoft Office for students and teachers. Go back to school with a Mac and extra money in your pocket.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
We've learned a lot about climate change in the last 20 years, but gaps in our knowledge remain unfilled. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Andrew Revkin has been covering climate change since the 1980s. Revkin is a science writer with the New York Times and the author of Global Warming: Understanding the Forecast. He wrote it in 1992, and it was one of the earlier books on the subject. Revkin says the prevailing view of climate change has evolved over the last two decades.
There was this idea that warming would happen, sort of like a slow ratcheting up of a thermostat. But what's come most dramatically since then is a clearer sense that climate doesn't move like a smooth process like that. It can move in big jumps and in unexpected ways.
Revkin says the development of more powerful computers has helped clarify the climate change picture, but he says the models themselves still don't answer many questions.
You have models that are computer simulations of how the world works that still are pretty rough sketches of the world. They dice up the atmosphere into a grid of boxes. There are equations that represent how air and energy move between one box and the next one, and then you link that to a
complex system. He says we don't yet understand how things might change the outcome.
It's those secondary feedbacks that are very, very powerful drivers of more warming. If your model doesn't behave the way the real atmosphere does in terms of how clouds work, then there's a big uncertainty factor, and that's where we're at right now because things like clouds are not really well understood very well yet.
Revkin says scientists also have to cope with gaps in the data they have to work with. For example, they have little information on temperature trends in Africa, one of the world's largest landmasses. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson.
Hey, Mom, what you doing? And you'll get a discount that makes the price of each DVD in your subscription only $11.90 each.
Finally, a gift I know he'll use.
There's only movement.
Hey, Mom, what you doing? And you'll get a discount that makes the price of each DVD in your subscription only $11.90 each.
Finally, a gift I know he'll use.
There's only movement. To join the DVD of the Month Club Newsweek says is designed to reach the ordinarily neglected movie lover, go to AirAmericaRadio.com now, click on the Film Movement banner, and get your Film Movement discount now. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tommy. Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. The teacher said to me...
It's too that some folks sent me about the discussion we were having yesterday about the gap in civics and political activism in certain age groups.
Gini versus Rebecca Vigil Garone, who is the Secretary of State. And there's actually about six or eight plaintiffs. And each plaintiff has a lawsuit is to enjoin the state from using Sequoia voting machines and...
Enjoin is a fancy word for stop, right? Stop the state.
Right.
Right. To stop them from using...
Use the Sequoia voting machines, which I found out last night is that company has now been sold to a Venezuelan...
Came into the United States about, three, 4 weeks ago. Seriously. This is the guy who is...
For an hour. A couple highlights to vote, and the totals said, well, these people... There was less people voted for the president than showed
some people
dramatic
or something else on the ballot.
Mexico thinks that were at least 75% Native American.
Something else on the ballot.
Mexico thinks that were at least 75% Native American. They took precincts that were at least 75% Hispanic, and they took precincts that were at least 75% Anglo. Now, of that, it totaled a little over 200,000 representative voters.
Right.
In the Native American precincts, the undervote was about 7.5%. In the Hispanic, about 4.5%. In the Anglo, it was less than 1%. Now, here's the interesting part is when they tabulated the absentee ballots, the undervote was less than one. The undervote was about 7.5%. In the Hispanic, about 4.5%. In the Anglo, it was less than 1%. Now, here's the interesting part is when they tabulated the absentee ballots, the undervote was less than 1%, and it was statistically the same. Revote was about 7.5%. In the Hispanic, about 4.5%. In the Anglo, it was less than 1%. Now, here's the interesting part is when they tabulated the absentee ballots, the undervote was less than 1%, and it was statistically the same regardless of the ethnicity.
So, in other words, if you voted in paper,
they're local tribal issues, so they don't vote nationally. Yeah. What a bunch of crock. But the thing is that was what was discovered is in New Mexico, we have a requirement. You have to be able to vote straight ticket.
Yeah.
And the top line is Republican, Democratic, or Green. Those are the only three approved candidates. So if somebody walks in, vote straight ticket.
Yeah.
And the top line is Republican, Democratic, or Green. Those are the only three approved candidates. So if somebody walks in and thinks, well, yeah, I'm a Democrat, and they press the Democratic button, that is a straight Democratic ticket.
Right.
If they go down and then they press John Kennedy or John Kerry, vote straight ticket.
Yeah.
And the top line is Republican, Democratic, or Green. Those are the only three approved candidates. So if somebody walks in and thinks, well, yeah, I'm a Democrat, and they press the Democratic button, that is a straight Democratic ticket.
Right.
If they go down and then they press John Kennedy or John Kerry in and thinks, well, yeah, I'm a Democrat, and they press the Democratic button, that is a straight Democratic ticket.
Right.
If they go down and then they press John Kennedy or John Kerry, that cancels that vote.
Right.
No, it cancels that vote only. Everything else registers.
Oh, so
well, these folks.
That's why I'm the perfect weapon.
And they could be planning the next terrorist attack.
Well, this isn't Chechnya or Jerusalem.
The New York Times calls Sleeper Cell, unlike any other program produced for American television. Sleeper Cell begins Sunday, December 4th at 10, 9 central, only on Showtime.
Judgment Day.
Get in on the iPod revolution with Small Dog Electronics. Whether you hip-hop, rock, shuffle, there's an iPod for you. Starting at just $99, store your favorite music and shuffle to your ear's content from 120 to 15,000 songs. Check out
S11MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Are you in debt?
Having me.
You write about the nature of suicide bombing and, you know, why people do this.
You know, they're looking for someone who's going to be a little more intelligent. They're less likely to mess up, but they're all university degree or...
The nature of suicide bombing and, you know, why people do this.
You know, they're looking for someone who's going to be a little more intelligent. They're less likely to mess up, but they're all university degree or some years of university. Rocky will speak English and educated. So trying to penetrate into that civilian population. The more educated person, not only are they less likely to mess up, but they're more likely to succeed.
Yeah, that's what you want to use. We have only a minute left. We're talking with Dr. Mia Bloom, the author of Dying to Kill, The Allure of Suicide Terror. What do we do about suicide terror?
Difficult for me to say because many of these terrorist organizations have very local issues that they are upset about or concerned about. And so barring, let's say, the main core of Al-Qaeda, which is very much a globalized network, looking at is you're trying to address some of the grievance. How do people think that they can get more through negotiation or through peaceful mechanisms? They're less likely to support the suicide bombing operations, and they're less likely to continue to fill the recruitment centers. And
right.
So
we need to solve the social problems.
We very often need to address those social problems.
And recalibrate the culture. How are these suicide...
Those people, the immolating monks, increasingly,
great.
Is not just willingness to die, but the willingness
Dr. Bloom,
to kill.
I'm sorry we're out of time, but thank you. Brilliant, brilliant. Dying to Kill, The Allure of Suicide Terror. 16
You truck drivers know me. You guys are the sort of...
slash your fuel costs, come on. I'm here to tell you about Motor Silk Engine Treatment. It's not another oil additive. Developed and patented by the Department of Energy for NASA and used for years by big business in the U.S. military. It's the most effective friction-reducing technology ever. I tried it. It worked. And used for years by big business in the U.S. military. It's the most effective friction-reducing technology ever. I tried it. It works. Friction is the enemy. And let me tell you, Motor Silk takes no prisoners. Less friction, less one time to your engine and fuel system, and you'll see up to 15% better fuel mileage. That's over $5,000 in savings a year. Listen up. At today's fuel prices, Evergreen Friction is the enemy. And let me tell you, Motor Silk takes no prisoners. Less friction, less one time to your engine and fuel system, and you'll see up to 15% better fuel mileage. That's over $5,000 in savings a year. Listen up. At today's fuel prices, Evergreen America, from 7 to 7 Eastern, greenamerica.com. Blade Runner, I'm out.
Poor Walmart. One day it's a peacock, the next day a feather duster. On October 25th, the retailing behemoth was basking ports about his push to buff up the battered image of the heavy. The retailing behemoth was basking ports about his push to buff up the battered image of the heavy-handed giant. So on this day, Walmart's honchos were strutting with all of their corporate tail feathers fanned. Then came October 26th, and the peacock's plumes drooped. An internal corporate memo had been leaked to the media showing a bird of a an executive vice president sent a series. On this day, Walmart's honchos were strutting with all of their corporate tail feathers fanned. Then came October 26th, and the peacock's plumes drooped. An internal corporate memo had been leaked to the media showing a bird of a an executive vice president sent a series of recommendations to her while appearing for PR purposes to be offering more benefits. For example, the memo corporate tail feathers fanned. Then came October 26th, and the peacock's plumes drooped. An internal corporate memo had been leaked to the media showing a bird of a an executive vice president sent a series of recommendations to her while appearing for PR purposes to be offering more benefits. For example, the memo called for one with a 7-year tenure cost the corporation offensive veteran. Peacock's plumes drooped. An internal corporate memo had been leaked to the media showing a bird of a an executive vice president sent a series of recommendations to her while appearing for PR purposes to be offering more benefits. For example, the memo called for one with a 7-year tenure cost the corporation offensive veterans. .com. Bird of a an executive vice president sent a series of recommendations to her while appearing for PR purposes to be offering more benefits. For example, the memo called for one with a 7-year tenure cost the corporation offensive veterans. .com.
A message from the American Library.
For example, the memo called for one with a 7-year tenure cost the corporation offensive veterans. .com.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help.
7-year tenure cost the corporation offensive veterans. .com.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact the community. The future is a
campaign for America's libraries.
So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact the community. The future is a
campaign for America's libraries.
The
used to run that company when...
I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact the community. The future is a
campaign for America's libraries.
Used to run that company when it was. It had, used to run that company when it was. It had a different name when it was. When he would
post there some very interesting articles. Besides the fact that the U.S. Pentagon has admitted to using white phosphorus in, which I don't think the Fitzgerald.
That I thought I caught that this morning.
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But. It, by the way,
it was. It had a different name when it was when he would
post there some very interesting articles. Besides the fact that the U.S. Pentagon has admitted to using white phosphorus in, which I don't think the Fitzgerald.
That I thought I caught that this morning.
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But by the way, I just think
people read the New York Times when you're talking about the grand arc, the great
Fritz of thought
articles. Besides the fact that the U.S. Pentagon has admitted to using white phosphorus in, which I don't think the Fitzgerald.
That I thought I caught that this morning.
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But by the way, I just think
people read the New York Times when you're talking about the grand arc, the great
Fritz of thoughtful gifts for under $10. Borders, open up a season of surprises.
That I thought I caught that this morning.
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But by the way, I just think
people read the New York Times when you're talking about the grand arc, the great
Fritz of thoughtful gifts for under $10. Borders, open up a season of surprises.
Hey, we know that student loans are a part of your life, but being treated poorly by your current lender doesn't have to.
I thought I caught that this morning.
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But by the way, I just think
people read the New York Times when you're talking about the grand arc, the great
Fritz of thoughtful gifts for under $10. Borders, open up a season of surprises.
Hey, we know that student loans are a part of your life, but being treated poorly by your current lender doesn't have to be.
But by the way, I just think
people read the New York Times when you're talking about the grand arc, the great
Fritz of thoughtful gifts for under $10. Borders, open up a season of surprises.
Hey, we know that student loans are a part of your life, but being treated poorly by your current lender doesn't have to be. 800-2 College. College Loan Corporation is one of the nation's leading such rebate. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Workout or
replace your furnace filter, get a programmable thermostat. All of these things are easy with help from ACE. So stop.
Their own
favorite. A part of your life, but being treated poorly by your current lender doesn't have to be. 800-2 College. College Loan Corporation is one of the nation's leading such rebate. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Workout or
replace your furnace filter, get a programmable thermostat. All of these things are easy with help from ACE. So stop.
Their own
LaborStart.tv. Much like its text and audio predecessors, LaborStart TV collects labor news from
corporation is one of the nation's leading such rebate. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Workout or
replace your furnace filter, get a programmable thermostat. All of these things are easy with help from ACE. So stop.
Their own
LaborStart.tv. Much like its text and audio predecessors, LaborStart TV collects labor news from around the globe and collects it all in one place. Eric Lee
got his head all funded
by $450 billion.
Your own
LaborStart.tv. Much like its text and audio predecessors, LaborStart TV collects labor news from around the globe and collects it all in one place. Eric Lee
got his head all
funded by $450 billion, according to the people who worked for 401ks. That's according to the Bureau. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is supposed to guarantee pensions when...
My PC. Anything you can do at your office PC, you can now do from, well, anywhere. You could try GoToMyPC free for 30 days, video listener link.
But it seems that Generation X, anyway, is a bit of a...
For 30 days, video listener link.
But it seems that Generation X, anyway, is a bit of a... one, and that was, you know, quite some time ago, with, look out, there's a shock coming. Makes sense. It's called learning. So then they thought, okay, now what happens... You know, how can we make, forgive me, here's how it actually, bit of a, one, and that was, you know, quite some time ago, with, look out, there's a shock coming. Makes sense. It's called learning. So then they thought, okay, now what happens? You know, how can we make? Forgive me. Here's how it actually injured itself or whatever. They put a harness around the dog that held it.
Being unfilled.
So then they thought, okay, now what happens? You know, how can we make? Forgive me. Here's how it actually injured itself or whatever. They put a harness around the dog that held it.
Being unfilled.
How clouds work. Then there's a big uncertainty factor, and that's where we're at right now because things like clouds are not really working.
For as long as you need, for one low monthly rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone.
Put a harness around the dog that held it.
Being unfilled.
How clouds work. Then there's a big uncertainty factor, and that's where we're at right now because things like clouds are not really working.
For as long as you need, for one low monthly rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone and without leaving your office. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days with unknown promo America. Discover the power. You can meet with anyone and without leaving your office. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days with unknown promo America. Discover the power. Days with unknown promo America. Discover the power.
As we're talking with Witt here and Scottsdale, Arizona earlier, why Scottsdale, Arizona earlier? Why would you ever want a president to lie us into a war? Why not tell us the truth and get us into the war? Why didn't, you know, what I'm upset about with Roosevelt is that, you know, there's evidence that
Nor do I believe.
Disagreeing with Gain, and he's doing, and calling him the worst names imaginable. They were all from Republicans.
Right. But I did weigh in on Martin Goodoctor's remarks sufficiently to my needs. But anyway, I don't infer, improperly infer that if some Pennsylvania, we're going to win. Nor do I believe.
Disagreeing with Gain, and he's doing, and calling him the worst names imaginable. They were all from Republicans.
Right, but I did weigh in on Martin Goodoctor's remarks sufficiently to my needs. But anyway, I don't infer, improperly infer that if some Pennsylvania, we're going to win the election for...
Calling him the worst names imaginable. They were all from Republicans.
Right, but I did weigh in on Martin Goodoctor's remarks sufficiently to my needs. But anyway, I don't infer, improperly infer that if some... Pennsylvania, we're going to win the election for...
Wally O'Dell said, I have a real hard time with the...
Sufficiently to my needs. But anyway, I don't infer, improperly infer that if some Pennsylvania, we're going to win the election for...
Wally O'Dell said, I have a real hard time with a conspiracy theory that involves Al Franken is convinced that they're, you know, Kerry lost the election. I think, you know, I think that...
Properly infer that if some Pennsylvania, we're going to win the election for...
Wally O'Dell said, I have a real hard time with a conspiracy theory that involves Al Franken is convinced that they're, you know, Kerry lost the election. I think, you know, I think that...
It's either because we are living in a rigged one-party state, which I...